Hi and welcome to Matrix Moments. This is Saloni, and in today's episode, we aim to uncover the journey of building Daily Hunt, India's leading content and news aggregator platform. They are also the pioneers in the local language content and distribution space. Joining us for this discussion are the founders of Daily Hunt, Virendra Gupta and Umang Bedi, as well as Vikram Vaidyanathan, Managing Director at Matrix Partners India. Viru and Umang's successful partnership as co-founders is a well-known and a well-celebrated fact. We talk about the dynamics of their partnership and also cover the changing face of content consumption in India and how Daily Hunt has been at the forefront of each of these changes. Key milestones and strategies that shape their journey, as well as a long-term vision for the company. We cover all of this and more in the episode. Tune in to part two.
You anyway segued into where I wanted to go, which is the building for Bharat and the entire pivot on the business. I wouldn't call it actually a pivot. It was actually building on a foundation.
Right.
And let me start on the monetization part first, because people say you can't build for Bharat. And then, you know, you can't do ad sales. Ad sales can only be done by, you know, Facebook and Google, and they control most of the market. But you guys did both. So talk about those early days on just forming this ad sales engine, which, you know, you can share whatever the numbers that you want to share. But I would say probably one of the most successful monetization efforts that we've seen across the startup ecosystem.
So it actually starts with the heart, which is the product. And monetization comes a little later. But we did six key things on the product around this new mission of being the largest platform for Bharat, enabling Indians to, you know, discover, consume, and socialize with content that's not just informational, but engaging and entertaining. So the first thing that we did is we exploded supply of content. We used to get content from 800 publishers, largely news. We exploded to 50,000 plus publishers across various categories who were giving us news, entertainment, lifestyle, divinity, astrology, Bollywood, cricket, so on and so forth. The second part was changing the feed architecture. Earlier, we looked like a small deck of slim cards, just a photograph and a headline and an attribution to the publisher. But we moved on to being a true multimedia focused autoplay video in feed, very Instagram or Facebook inspired feed architecture with lots of content which we had got from Bharat. The third was driving that discoverability, because one, when you're ingesting 2 million pieces of content every day, how do you serve what you need to serve to whom? And I would say that the team that Viru had put together, and we, you know, supplemented it along the journey, just built one of the most amazing algos where we ingested 2 million pieces of content every day, built the deepest deep learning models to understand that content across 1600+ hierarchies, built more than thousands and thousands of tags per language to understand content. And on the other side was understanding user behavior, but true engagement, not just click-through rates, but measuring more than 10 billion interactions per day of how people consume, how they scroll, how they spend time, their likes, dislikes, shares, over 70 plus AI ML algorithms that were tweaked for local language content, building over 1.4 million vectors of what, who likes to consume what, by what time of day, in what source, from what publisher, in what format, right? Across this large base, right? Then the AI does the science of really constructing the feed, you know, taking the latest content from the left-hand side and marrying it to a user's content graph signals. That was the foundation that was built.
Yeah, so I'm just going to touch upon a couple of things and maybe explain this in more layman language. And we've all experienced these apps, right? Where if you get the first two pieces of content and slide right, then you have my attention. And I will consume 10, 15, 20 minutes of content. But if you lose me on slide one, that's it, I'm out, because that's the attention span. And I think the tech that Umang laid out beautifully does exactly that, but it does this for somebody in Haridwar who wants to actually figure out what is happening in UP, why in Hindi, while doing the same thing for somebody in Madurai, in Tamil, who might be actually interested in not in politics, but in politics cooking. And to do that across these multiple languages, multiple geographies, ingesting content I think it was like one of the most exciting pieces of tech that I've seen. And maybe Viru, you want to add there?
So I think, you know, building on what Umang and you said, I think, you know, in the local language of machine learning today, you know, I think we can comfortably say that we are the best company in the world for understanding content and user behavior and recommending content to the user. And it has evolved over a period of time. And with so much data and which was available to us over a period of last 4 or 5 years, and with the new vision, which we enabled on 2 years back in terms of making a multimedia feed with video, viral cards, content, and the explosion of supply of content, which is now getting supplemented with the launch of social. I think the engine is now well oiled to kind of, you know, serve every Indian the content which he or she wants.
And I think we know what we did there, if I remember correctly, the team actually built something known as a recommendation engine that on the fly in a non-linear fashion updates the feed dynamically in real-time basis consumption, which basically means, Vikram, that if you're consuming a certain source of content over time, we're seeing you engage on it, automatically in real time, we dynamically update the feed with either content around the same genre or from a different genre that you like to consume at that time of day. And, you know, the engagement rate on that went 2 to 3 times of the average engagement rate, which was 20% of the content on feed, really exploded to more than 50%. And I think a whole bunch of these tech innovations led the foundation for user growth. And what we did in that 18 months is grow from 40 million MAU, 20 million on the app, 20 million on the web, to about 270 million MAU. Exit this March, more than half of which, about 140 million, was on the app alone. But we grew our DAUs, which was traditionally around 8-10 million on the app, to 70 odd million on the app, right? So the DAU to MAU ratio from in the 20s to the 45s, 45%. And the time spent, which was around 18-20 minutes a day, to now 30 minutes a day. And so when you take in all these effects, you're growing the user base, you're growing the time spent, you're growing the engagement, you're growing the retention, and you're doing it off a massively growing base, which you're adding about 5 to 10 million MAU every month. That happens with deep tech, right? And then comes the easier part, or the harder part, maybe in whichever sense you want to refer to it, of monetization. So I think those foundations were very, very critical to build an ads business. Without that, I don't think we would have an ads business worth talking about.
And I remember you used to keep talking about this tipping point, and you used to say, if I get 150 million MAUs, then I know I can get to this kind of revenue. If I get to 200, then I can get to this kind of revenue. If it's 250, then I can get to this kind of revenue. Explain that, you know, intuitive maths that you had.
So if you look at the India, we're 1.3 billion people, right? But when you look at the consuming class of India, which is SEC, AB, urban, rural, we're roughly about 450 million or 400 million consumers within that 1.3 billion. Now, they are found within three Indias. They're found in what we call the Australia of India or the UK of India, which is the top eight metros, 100 million people who demonstrate behaviors like anyone in the West. Then is what I would refer to as the middle belly or the Brazil of India, which is another 400 million people living in urban centers, but in tier two, tier three, tier four towns. And then there is 800 million people in urban, in rural India, right? Now that 400 million consuming class, which is a government of India definition of socioeconomic population, is found in all three tiers. It's more concentrated in tier one. However, the bulk of them is present in the middle belly. And then there is a long tail of those SECAB also in the underbelly, right? Or the long tail within rural. The ability, if you can cross in our heads, 250 million app MAUs, right? You get to, serving about 2/3 of that base. And then you get into the vicinity of the big boys, right? Who are already in that number. If you think about how many platforms in the world are 100 million DAOs, there are probably 8 or 10 of them. If you think about how many 100 million DAO platforms in India, there are 2, right? And we suddenly are getting into that list by the end of this year, getting to 100 million DAO. So I think the whole the whole value proposition to the ecosystem of what we were creating was a nice flywheel. We're going to get very high quality content, nothing racy, raunchy, family-oriented content. We're going to get it from the widest and deepest set of publishers across Bharat. We're going to share revenue and monetization with them on day one. And as we get a more, you know, educated user base, because even though we unleashed video, it's about 30% of the time spent, 70% was still on text. And so you had to be educated to come onto the app. You needed to know how to read and write. And so as you're getting a more monetizable audience, you're adding value to the user by getting him the latest content. You're adding value to advertisers to get them access to this. You're sharing that value with the publisher. And you're creating this very nice flywheel, right? And so the way we look at it is we want to serve all 450 million SEC, AB, urban, rural in the next two years, right? And I think end of this year, we get to 200 million app MAUs, 350 million total MAUs, including web, and 100 million app DAOs alone, right? And so another year from there, we're kind of getting to this entire base. And so that's how we look at the growth. Because advertisers want to reach people who can pay. Okay? They don't want to reach SEC, CD, and E, which unfortunately are not consuming classes or consuming Indians just by the socioeconomic class.
That's a truly exciting story, and I'm looking forward to the next few years of watching the story. Meera, I don't know if you wanted to add something.
So on the point about tipping point, I think one thing which I learned, you know, over this last 2 years was for large scale money movement, the advertisers looks at reach and frequency, correct? And that's the basis of when you reach a certain amount of DAOs and MAUs, and when your DAO by MAU is higher, you start getting disproportionate volume of wallets of advertisers on your platform. That's one. Second thing is as you move beyond brand to performance advertising, you need a large user base to serve many kinds of products and ads to the user base so that you can sample and build a great performance engine. So and I think what Uma told very nicely was, it was a logical step of first investing into product building blocks, scaling the user base through long-term partnerships with less money in the pocket, but taking big bets, right? And subsequently building a great ad tech platform and a great GTMP, which could then start taking juice out of the engagement of these large users. And I would just add a few more lines.
So guys, talk a little bit about the overall vision for Daily Hunt. And especially since, you know, we have so many tailwinds, headwinds, everything happening at the same time. It's an exciting time to be part of the ecosystem. So, and in that context, talk about your vision.
So maybe I'll start. I'll just say that Daily Hunt at the heart stands for Bharat. We are a made in India, for India, by Indians app in 14 different Indian languages, right? So there is no one more true to the spirit of serving the warp and weft of Bharat, which has truly been the embodiment of the platform that Veeru founded, right? And when I take a step further, the internet is getting really exciting. There are lots of tailwinds around growth. 9 out of 10 new internet users coming online are local language users. Every day, local language users are actually spending more time per week or time per day in terms of consuming mobile content, whether it's entertainment, whether it's short form video, whether it is reading news, whether it is collaborating on social platforms. At Daily Hunt, the way we've always looked at our platform is built on the ingenuity of what we consider a world-class tech stack. If you were to benchmark us with any of the global giants, the way the architecture of the product has been built is with a supremely robust backend, which is powered by what we believe the world's most sophisticated AI and ML stack, catering to these 14 languages. And so we look at this tech stack as a machine that's going to, in a very modular fashion, help us create what we consider the playbook for our next growth. And the playbook for next growth is win Bharat, serve them with a family of apps that are serving multiple use cases, and ultimately win the internet ecosystem space with also the regulatory tailwinds being in our favor. To that effect, what we have done is looked at the core of Daily Hunt and really said, like we told you earlier, how do we make this more social? How do we drive consumers to become curators, creators, and conversers of content? So really driving social effects around news, infotainment, and entertainment, right? And that has gone live, and we're seeing some phenomenal early results of the ecosystem, with more than 25% of the user base logging in, who's spending a 35% higher DAU to MAU ratio and a 15 to 20% higher time spent. The second app that we have launched in that series is Josh. And Josh is, again, a made in India app off the Daily Hunt backend, which is a short form video entertainment app, short videos, vertical in nature, less than 15 seconds, really empowering the creators of Bharat and the next 500 million consumers that are going to come and, you know, consume short video. And the third piece that we are launching right now is a short sharing app for social sharing in, you know, for Bharat again. So when you really think about it, it's building on the foundation of a supremely solid tech stack that's kind of becoming an app generation machine. First for social on Daily Hunt, second for a wildly social short video sharing app, Josh, and third around pure social sharing of viral cards, memes, you know, entertainment, Bollywood kind of content, which has come out right now. So that's the way we think about it. And as we go further, this is just the start to that journey of churning out a family of apps, right? But we're going to strengthen that and solidify that for key use cases that we see across Bharat.
Great. Anything to add?
Yes. So look, I mean, as we think about the business, right, I think one thing we have seen in this business is change is always constant, right? If you are part of the Indian internet ecosystem, you will see there will be a lot of winds which favor you, there will be a lot of winds which don't favor you. One thing, if you see what we have invested over a period of time, is building capabilities and be ready for the change as and when it happens. So, you know, I mean, the Daily Hunt, as Umang mentioned, moved from version 2 to a version 3, which is social app, because now we are going to drive a lot of conversations on this app. And that core app is generating a lot of cash and revenues. And that's a scalable business we have built. Now, this machinery of tech and, you know, monetization, which we have built, now we are extending it to multiple use cases, opportunistic use cases, and basically win the internet ecosystem war in India. We are in the process of launching multiple apps. Few we have launched, few will come. We are also doing seed investments in smart entrepreneurs opportunistically. And this opportunity has come because of things which have happened recently to kind of, you know, feed this ecosystem and become a large size consumer internet company for Bharat.
That's well put and very mature way of both articulating the vision and also capitalizing on the opportunity. I'll just add, I think when you think of a company's right to win, I do think that we have a tremendous right to win within this landscape, because you've got the tech product, which personalizes pretty much better than anyone else across the India ecosystem and at the global level. You've got access to content and content creators, and you've built that access painstakingly over a long period of time. And third, you have the monetization engine, which can fuel all this in a profitable manner versus just putting VC dollars to work. So capitalize on your right to win, and good luck on this big launch.
Thank you, Vikram.
Thanks, Vikram.
Fantastic. And you gave us a glimpse into the execution machine that you guys have built. How's that execution machine going during COVID?
So it's, you know, if the foundation is strong, COVID or no COVID, I think if I just pause back, right, and I look at businesses around the world, you know, the US post-World War II, or 1945, 1950, the US economy is hit every 6 years with an economic recession. And this is a fact if you look back into history. I think we were lucky that for the last 12 years since 2008, the US economy wasn't hit. And when I say the US economy, it's a global economy. We live in a globalized world. The US needs us, we all catch a cold, right? Now, it is unfortunate that this pandemic has been the reason where people are dying, which has caused this recession all over the world, right? But this recession was to come. If you look into the history of 2008, there were 6,640 odd companies on NASDAQ that had a valuation of more than $1 billion. You VCs call it unicorn, but I've never seen a unicorn, right? So these are, in the VC world, it's very fluffy on very different kind of vanity metrics. I'm sorry, I'm picking on you, Vikram. We're just such good friends.
It's fine. I'm used to it with you.
You're used to it. But, you know, if you think about listed companies, their valuation is more real. They're on PE multiples or revenue or EBITDA multiples, right? About 500 of these companies in that period of 2008 to 2010, 500 on 6,640, so you do the math there, right? It's under 10%. Actually grew valuation and grew business and grew IRR. And so we look at COVID as that opportunity because in the next 18 months, companies, or you know, you will be able to tell the difference between the men and the boys. A lot of companies that were built on fluffy, high growth, high burn vanity metrics are not going to be around or are going to be severely impacted or are going to have to make significant pivots in their business model because it wasn't really a real business. Whereas our goal, which we are on the journey of doing, is growing user base, growing time spent, growing engagement, and growing monetization 100% through COVID, such that at the end of this, growing profitability through this, right? But all of this has been built on the foundation of some core principles. So we do talk about monetization on ad tech and a go-to-market team. Our ad tech is built on the first principle of an online real-time bidding platform where we are maximizing revenue, aggregating sources of demand, reducing the network dependencies to less than 10% of revenue because that's when you are in command of your CPS. We talked about a performance engine. So we built what we now are seeing to be a world-class performance engine where we are optimizing the ads by preference. So it's not really the highest bidder wins, but being able to serve the right ad to the right person who has a propensity for that kind of content, right? The third is really building targeting with zip code or PIN code level targeting because we get traffic from 95% of the 21,000 zip codes in India. The fourth is really around building trust and transparency with advertisers. So all our ads being Moat and IAB certified, we integrating with third party mobile measurement partners like Tune, AppsFlyer, you know, Kochava, Singular. But most importantly, in a performance business, being able to get a full view of that user outside our platform. So we now have about 120 plus data integrations with performance advertisers, right? Where we are being able to track the life cycle of the journey to both mid-funnel and bottom-of-the-funnel conversion metrics, right? And as a combination of that and a world-class go-to-market team with leaders from Adobe, Microsoft, Yahoo, Facebook, YouTube, Google, we've been able to drive that revenue growth and that impact. And I think the fact that we've been able to focus nearly a third of our business from small businesses who really don't advertise on self-serve platforms in tier one markets. The fact that we've been able to build a performance engine and attract a disproportionate amount of gaming, ed tech, OTT, streaming, movies, and handsets kind of advertising. When you build that nice mix where you're not dependent on any one vertical or any one line of business for revenue, but you can tune in on one of the levers depending upon the times, that's what's enabling this growth. So I think coming out of COVID, which may be 12 months from now, in the last 18 months, we've grown our revenue from 15 million, 20 million ARR to 125 million ARR in March. And that's been exponential growth in the last 18 months. We will continue to grow our user base from the 140 million MAUs by the end of this year on the app side to well over 200 million, total 350. DAUs, as I said, getting over the 100. But revenue growing to about 215 million ARR, so nearly doubling. But at the same time, the important metric of profitability, we used to run at a negative 100% or negative 150% EBITDA line about 18 months ago. That would come to a near break even this year. And so building it on strong unit economics, on strong profitable growth across user base, revenue, engagement, and retention, I think is the key mantra. And Viru, you should talk about the whole pivot that we made on social, which we've done through COVID, right?
Yeah.
With the entire team working at home, but Viru, I'd love for you to chime in.
Yeah. So Viru, maybe last quick comment from you, and the social one is a big deal before we sign off.
Yeah, so basically just before social, I just want to comment a little bit on the COVID moments in the company, right? I think few things have happened in COVID, during COVID, and it's an unfortunate incident in the world. But you know, a lot of time you can't change the behavior of ecosystem. But I think things like COVID end up changing the behavior of ecosystem. And let me tell you what it means. Basically, each employee broadly in the company is aware that money is important, cash is important. Typically, startup world was operating on the fact that there's going to be continuous flow of funding, and you could do whatever you could do. You could burn money in marketing, you could build useless products, you could, you know, you could have fancy offices, you could go to, you know, great holidays on company's expense. I mean, we were never like that, but generally the whole COVID experience has taught a good old way of doing business where, as Umang pointed out, EBITDA and profitability matter. So I think that's one thing which has gone down well. And when, you know, a marketing guy is spending money, he's thinking about ROI. When a technical guy is architecting, he's thinking about the hardware he's going to require and he's optimizing the code. When people are building features, they're removing nonsense and figuring out, hey, I got to focus on what matters to customers and what will give me impact. You know, we have done everybody is doing rooftop consolidation and so on and so forth. So basically, good old way of, you know, looking at costs in a realistic manner is coming to. That's one thing, a change of behavior and discipline. And me and Umang are very happy about how our teams have reacted to it. So I think that's one very positive thing, right? Second thing is, in terms of working, the teams are working very, very hard. In fact, they are saying there's no difference between a personal life and a professional life, right? And we have delivered some very, very big projects during this period. The third thing which the team is realizing is, in these moments where world is moving from offline to online, I think the tailwinds and the headwinds of business are in our direction. So every member of Daily Hunt wants to now capitalize, you know, and not in the wrong sense, but saying, hey, we got to work harder and make this work, because, you know, this is the moment where we can give more value to customers and increase our penetration in customer service. Over the last 2 years, we have grown our MAU by 5 times, DAO by 6 times, revenue by 7 times. You know, as Umang told, this year we intend to increase our revenue, you know, almost double. We are going to reach 100 million plus DAO. And you know, the company is well capitalized. In this COVID times, we raised some money, which all of you guys know about it. And we are, like, you know, off to the races.
Well, that's a great point to sign off. And, you know, with you guys, I can just keep talking forever. And we have done that in the past where we've gone
Two things we wanted to add is, during COVID, the whole platform has pivoted its value proposition, where, you know, you were a consumer, which was a one-way street, but now every consumer has become a creator and a curator of content. And that is driving a huge amount of virality, a huge amount of growth, because we realized that the party was happening outside Daily Hunt. Every month there were 100 million shares on WhatsApp, and we said, hey, let's give the local language users a local language Twitter and a local language Facebook groups user experience, and seeing a lot of positive momentum around viral growth and organic growth, both of the platform and of the content and of the client spend. But it also gives us a social graph and a content graph. And I think if I would just say the last thing to add to what Viru said, I think COVID has truly brought out the, I wouldn't say it's a culture defining moment. The culture was already defined within the company. But for us, for Viru and me, it's very pleasing to see the way the team has reacted and the way they're building and they're, you know, hunkering down, heads down, focus. It's all built on a foundation of very strong, very solid culture. And I think if that was not a core ingredient in this, and I don't know if Viru and I did HR sessions to focus on it, and I don't think we did. At least I don't remember.
I don't think you guys did.
But for whatever reason, I think the culture has just emerged as just holding this whole ship really strongly as we're growing.
It's what we practice gets the culture, right?
I was just going to say that. I don't think you guys did like org sessions, but it is actually just leadership by example. And people are just following that lead by example. Guys, thank you so much for sharing the journey and the super candid conversation. I think it's obvious to listeners the respect, the give and take, as well as the brotherhood that you guys share and sort of clearly comes across even in a brief conversation with you guys. And I would say, I would sign off by, you know, Viro had posted this Twitter pic from Sholay, where, you know, he had, you know, Viro and Jay from Sholay with saying, you know, ye dosti hum nahi todenge. And that sort of sums it up for me. So congratulations on the partnership, and I'm hoping this podcast inspires others to develop that inspirational partnership along with their co-founders. Guys, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Vikram. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks for tuning in. For more Matrix Moments episodes, you can head to www.matrixpartners.in/blog. You can also follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for more updates.